another edition of the Fraudcast is here. Street law is in effect. This is your ear rapist, Ben. We have a bunch of the crew and then a special guest, but blogger extraordinaire Vince is here.
That's me.
The judge of street law and street law, Brendan.
Who's got it better than us?
Nobody.
Nobody.
And the Museum of Comedy, Matt Louvre is here.
Please don't rape my ears.
That's how I talk. I rape ears. It's with my voice.
Well, if you wanted it, it wouldn't be rape, technically. So
I make love to ears as a comedian, and because I'm bad at it, you laugh. That's my career.
Matt is a comedian that Vince has brought home, which is very exciting. He doesn't normally bring the talent home with him.
He got my scent on him, and his mother wouldn't take him back.
Can he stay for dinner? Can we keep him?
Yeah, I wasn't wearing my collar.
The ankle bracelet is still on, though. Vince actually saw some movies. He saw The Iron Lady, which he said, if it doesn't win Best Picture, he's going to fucking riot.
Yeah.
And he's going to black out filmdrunk.com.
That's true. Yeah. Black it out for a day.
Yeah,
at least
with just a trailer of The Iron Lady playing over and over.
Funny flashback. I think Matt was actually there at the my stand-up show where Brendan almost got in a fight with a heckler. And I think I have that recording.
I'm a good friend. What can I say?
It's true. It's true.
He was also enacting street law. That was illegal. Street law illegal on so many levels.
Hey, when the real law doesn't intervene, you've got to declare street law.
That's right.
You're like the Judge Dredd of comedy.
Yes.
I have that recording here.
And then you lose them when you bend over to take a look at the dump you just took. Don't act like that's weird. I just want to see what my bowels have been up to all day. Hey, dude. Hey. You can have a conversation like out there or somewhere else, but it's kind of distracting when I'm trying to talk.
I'm sorry, bro.
No problem.
Hold on. The last two comedians.
Hey, shut up!
No, let him.
I can't just like you said, dude. I'm talking to
my Yeah, we're all shut up, so you should do the same.
All right, I don't want to start a riot. Jesus.
I've been doing stand-up for 17 years. I can talk about it.
Shut up.
You know what? I will.
Shut up. Shut up.
Shut up, dude. 17 years.
Shut up. Let me do their set.
Shut up. I will.
Sit your ass for 8 years, bro.
Shut up. I will.
Suck at it.
Now, in terms of that would not hold up in street court. I've been doing stand-up for 17 years, so I'm allowed to be an asshole. Brendan, how say you? Does that hold up?
That will not hold up in street court.
Is Brett now calling all of us?
Yeah, he's here. Should we go to
All right, let's let Brett in.
So, yay, Brett's here now.
Yay.
We were just talking about I just played the clip from my stand-up where Brendan almost beat up the heckler. And were you in the room for that?
I was right there all the way against the wall in terror because I'm a very small man.
Just cowering in the corner, hoping that it would end peacefully.
I know that your listeners can't see me, but I've been described as the most average sized man in the world. And I feel like it would take at least two of me to beat up any one of you.
Are you like, do you ever watch The Life and Times of Tim?
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm like Tim, but with a little more self assertiveness.
I saw the one with super gay Eduardo.
Super
the other
gay
day.
Eduardo was amazing.
So amazing.
I was dying.
For those of you that do not or have not watched Life and Times of Tim, it is amazing.
You should start.
Yeah, immediately.
Yeah, I didn't really know what to do, so I just sort of stood on stage giggling because I didn't really know how to take back the crowd one or like diffuse the situation.
Really,
two,
I stole the show.
Yeah, it's true.
What people don't know, it was a planned routine. This is Vince's new act.
I'm his confederate.
Oh, if we could get like an Andy Kaufman thing going where that happened at every show.
And then you beat someone up every time.
Yeah.
I think
it'd
be
exciting.
That. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I say something? As a consequence of that blow up that night, I was like, oh my God, I need to learn self-defense.
Really?
For real.
That?
I had this whole conversation with Alex in his car of like, I can't rely on other people to defend me.
like what if that guy charged the stage or something?
Yeah, what if that was me? And then I said something negative about like dudes wearing earrings or dudes being insane people.
Or dudes with scarves like I did.
Watch it, bro.
Yeah.
They're very serious about their scarf collection.
Not
what'd you say about Scarf Town? That's what I represent.
Maybe I will go back to Scarf Town. It's better than here.
My street name is Scarface.
We got some got some voicemails. I haven't been playing your voicemails that you guys have been sending us. Again, 415-275-0030. But I thought we got some funny ones this week. This one struck me funny for whatever reason. This guy hates fake Brett.
How dare he?
You motherfuckers. I'm sick of freak. That's Brett, dude. Like, I know that y'all think that shit is, like, the funniest thing in the world. In, like, the whole world of life. But it's not. It's retarded. I think everybody. I think I can speak for humanity in general when I say you can't just put on a fake voice about a squirrel and think it's funny. And, like, everybody's going to love that shit. It wasn't funny the first time. It was funny the second time. It was not funny the 4 millionth time. I think you people only think it's funny. Everything y'all do is great. I have no problems with it. I have a boring shit job. I have to listen to all the podcasts while I'm at work. It helps, you know, get through the day and shit. But nothing makes my day worse than when y'all carry on with that bullshit, like which feels like 15 minutes straight. A little squirrel. I mean, you don't even have to, you don't even have to play this. I'm not trying to get on the radio with y'all. I just don't want y'all to do it anymore. Maybe just a little help, man, because I think I have my pulse on the finger of humanity's funny bone or whatever the hell that means. I don't know what I'm talking about right now. It's freezing out here. But you motherfuckers need to stop that shit. You do a great job, but nobody wants to hear y'all talking a squirrel voice. Nobody wants to hear it or whatever it is. Is a man doing a squirrel? A simplified mongoloid who likes squirrels? I don't even know what it is. Does Brett draw? I don't even fucking know. Who cares? Nobody cares about drawing. Talk about, you know, like farts and shit. Because that works. Anyway, just a little piece of advice for you gentlemen. Have a wonderful day.
I wasn't even planning to play that whole thing, but he was on such a roll that I had to let it go.
Yeah, when do you stop that?
No.
I think in retort, I think he said the 4 millionth time isn't funny, but you know what is? The 4 millionth and first.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the earnest tone he took when he said, I just want you to stop. I don't want this to go on anymore.
And to explain a little bit, Brett is an illustrator, so...
By trade.
Yeah, by trade, and... So when we made up fake
not
Brett,
a farter.
The idea was that he was probably sitting around having to draw. We had like the idea of someone having to draw the same thing over and over again.
Just a simpleton, just drawing all day.
Because one time Brett told us he had to draw like checkboxes for like a week, like different styles of checkboxes. And yeah, so sometimes he draws woodland creatures. And I thought it would be funny if he specialized in squirrels.
Yeah, it turned into him that Brett draws nothing but squirrels over and over mm-hmm. for just years on end. So fake Brett, of course, that's all he does. And
hey, you know, I could draw other stuff, but a few years back, I just decided I was going to focus on the squirrels, and I think it's really take my art to the next level.
You know, my dad said to find one thing and do well, and I think I found squirrels.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you find something you love, you don't work a day in your life.
That's right. That's right.
Where the fuck was that guy from? He had the weirdest he oscillated between, like, thug and
I think it's like a New Orleans accent. Have you ever heard like a true New Orleans accent? It's like it's kind of like that.
I'm not sure. I haven't been to the South. I don't know the difference between my Southern accents really.
Yeah, like a New Orleans accent. And actually, I was talking to there's a Cajun restaurant here in San Francisco. It's really good, called the Boxing Room. And I was talking to the waiter because he was really cool, and he had this like accent, and I was asking him about it. And he was saying, you know, it's like a New Orleans accent. And I've heard a couple people talk like that before. And it's like, it's kind of hard to tell because it's got like the Southern drawl thing going on. Mm-hmm. But it's also sort of got a little bit of like an East Coast, like almost like a Brooklyn accent kind of mixed in there. So it's kind of, I don't know. It's weird.
It's fascinating.
Yes. What else would you like to know about accents?
This next one is called... this one got broken up halfway through. But the second part of it I found... funny. He's reacting to real Brett and not fake Brett.
Completely hilarious. Especially if, like, of not Vince, but Steven Seagal. If Steven Seagal had any self-awareness of what his general pop culture character looks like, and he comes out looking like a jackass, and then, oh, wait, we realize he actually knows Aikido and beats the shit out of it. I think that would be pretty hilarious.
Extrapolating, I think he was suggesting that I fight Steven Seagal.
That would be a good movie.
Yeah.
Pretty hilarious.
But I like the last part of this.
Also, Brett's my favorite. He is a loser, and I'm a loser. And I don't know. I gotta have love for that guy. So,
you guys enjoy rubbing one out. I am going to go back to listening to you guys talk without pants on. Bye-bye.
I like all the.
You're ready for hot podcast action,
we get a lot of backhanded compliments, which is why I love the. That's my favorite thing about the voicemails.
Well, now that you called it out, we're going to get a bunch of fake backhanded compliments.
You motherfucker!
Oh, wrong one. We already listened to that one. This is the one I wanted to play.
Hey, this is Austin again. I'm still driving through southern New Mexico, and I am still listening to you faggots. And I just had one thing I wanted to say. Ben, you are a cunt. You like shitty movies. You are a bad person. You're just a bad person. And why don't you like Scott Pilgrim? Because that movie was awesome. And you don't like Scott Pilgrim, but you love Transformers. And I mean, I know everyone there already knows this. Everybody that listens already knows those things. But just really, man, that's all. Goodbye.
I like when people get so frustrated and angry that they can't even. It's like, so what? It doesn't even make sense.
What's sad is we all the other four of us quietly cheered that it wasn't us this time. Yeah, that means they like us a little bit more than him.
I listened to the best of that went up earlier this week. It was pretty funny.
Yeah, did you make the cut?
Yeah, I was on there a bunch. Yeah, all right. I was on there a lot.
Nice work, buddy.
Me laughing at poop transplants.
Yeah, the origin of poop transplants.
My loud lovemaking. I noticed that we teased that there was going to be the origin of the Kirk Douglas log flume boner thing, and that was not on there.
Yeah, I think I fucked that up. I re-uploaded that.
But the only clip that you hear is, guys, Lindy going, guys, there is not rotten food in my vagina.
It's true. Oh, we got one from, I believe, well, I don't want to spoil it.
Can I ask a question? Do any of your listeners like you guys?
No.
Oh, no. Oh, heavens, no.
The only time we get a compliment is when it's in sort of insult form to someone else. It's like, Brendan's a pussy, but Vince is all right.
Yeah.
It's like, I hate my life. It's and all you guys, relative. Your lives seem shitty, too, so it makes me feel like there's other shitty lives out there.
I love Brett because he's a piece of shit, and so am I.
This is a koi call that we got recently.
Richard? Richard, Kapow. This is General Martok. I ordered several pounds of fresh koi meat to be delivered to the Southeast Iowa Chapter 11 Section 8 Klingon Rally recently.
I wonder who this is.
Chapter 11 Section 8 Klingon Rally.
I wonder who this is.
As well as koi. And we are genuinely appreciative of the shipment. It was a big success at the feast. Richard, the reason I'm calling now is that within the shipment of koi meat, there was a small flash drive. Worried that it could contain important koi business information, Chancellor Gowron viewed the contents. In short, Richard, we have seen the perverse pictures you have posted, and we have made local authorities aware of the misdeeds you have propagated against what appears to be several of your koi specimens. You are sicker than a Romulan that slurps Targ Forsak. And the Klingon Rally as a whole hopes you are sellies with Joson. Gotcha.
So this is going to be fun to explain to someone who doesn't know what's going on. Because there's like at least 18 levels of all right, so.
Deep in the fraught lore.
Yeah, this is way deep. So a few, like maybe 5 years back, we saw this van that said Koi's R Us on the side. And we decided to call the number. And he had like this really obnoxious outgoing message. And so we've been leaving like. We've been leaving like prank messages on this guy's machine until we would fill up his machine for like 5 years straight, and we'd have to like come up with a reason to call him about koi, and then this guy's one of our more famous listeners. His name's the Mighty Feckler. He's a Klingon impersonator from Iowa, and he speaks fluent Klingon.
I thought he was actually a Klingon. No,
he might be. I'm not sure. We've never met.
There's kind of a pejorative taint to the phrase Klingon impersonator.
Well, there's
I don't think Klingons would really appreciate
that. I think there's a pejorative taint to the word to pejorative. Pejorative taint.
Recursive pejorative taint.
Yeah, that was a lot of levels there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he also called our broadcast line to leave a fake prank call.
We can forward that through.
That's true.
We got the Google on our side.
We can make that happen.
Let's do that. And we got to make sure it fits into Richard's new time limit.
Oh, yeah. We have to edit for length.
Yeah.
Richard, this koi call has been edited for length.
This is an abridged koi call.
Dictated but not read.
Do you ever worry that you're driving this man to madness?
No, sometimes.
I mean, how great can his life be if he has a van with koi on the side?
It's only like once every 3 months he comes back to about 45 messages. They may be from Michael Irvin or not.
I was listening to the Michael Irvin message. I was dying.
Yo, this be Michael Irvin.
This is Michael Irvin.
You may know me from the Super Bowl.
I caught some passes, but I dropped some too. I need koi gloves.
I'm making a comeback, you and me.
Hey, Richard. This is Michael Irvin from the Dallas Cowboys. You might remember me from the Super Bowls that I won in the middle or late 90s. Here's the deal. I got these gloves, and I use them to catch footballs. But sometimes I drop them. That's why I don't play football anymore. But I was thinking that you could make me some gloves out of the koi that you put in the ponds. The koi that you usually put in the ponds, you should take them out of the ponds, and you should cut off their skin, and you should make me some gloves. It would be the best comeback in history, because people would be like, Michael Irvin, he's so old, he should not be catching footballs. He should not be able to catch footballs like that. But I will catch him. I will just go downfield and they will throw me the ball. Then I will just catch footballs. And I mean, what is going on? How can Michael Irvin catch footballs so well? It will be because of your coarse skin's gloves, Richard. I will catch me, Michael Irvin. I will catch footballs because of your coarse skin, Richard, because of the gloves that you make me, and we could be partners, and I will give you the football trophy, and we will go to Disneyland together, me and you.
Just pure drunken rambling is so, it's so pure.
Me and you.
It was Michael Irvin. You may know me from the Super Bowls in like the 90s or something.
Yeah, I was truly drunk and exasperated at that point. Do you guys want to talk about Mark Wahlberg, or do you guys want to talk about Roman Polanski movies?
Can we talk about herpes?
Let's talk about Mark Wahlberg.
We can do that.
And the Niners.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What do you think about that? Your hands hurt from high-fiving? Mine do.
Yeah, I sore hands from high-fiving. It's pretty amazing.
Hugging indiscriminate strangers?
Yeah, I definitely hugged a lot of strangers after that last touchdown.
Your t-shirt matches my t-shirt. High five.
Yeah.
They could be lying. They could be fucking
undercover
Arizona
fans
or something.
That'd be pretty aggressive.
Dastardly.
Yeah, that would be diabolical.
Vince Emily jumped up on a table at the bar.
Yeah.
I knocked over at least 3 beers.
I jumped on a table and I started an Alex Smith chant. I don't think that will ever happen.
That may be the first and last.
Like, go back
in
your time machine, like, even just a year ago.
Even like 3 months ago.
Yeah. I started an Alex Smith chant when he led 2 late fourth quarter drives to win a playoff game against Drew Brees.
You go back.
Yeah, what?
Record scratch.
You go back 1 year and you tell Brendan that.
Yeah.
And he will punch you right in the face for lying to him.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Shut the fuck up, bro.
It was messed up. I went to the last Niner game of last year, and people had been switching quarterbacks, you know, the whole fucking season. So they'd start chanting for the other one, and it was like Hill or whatever.
Yeah.
And Alex had been in the whole game and was doing
all right. The black dude.
And he threw like one missed pass, and the entire stadium starts chanting, put in Alex Smith, even though he's already in. It's just like, oh, that's a special kind of painful.
That's pretty amazing. Yeah. There's a lot of that. They got that many people on board with that. It's like very...
People were pretty mad.
Very meta.
Yeah.
Yeah. You actually watched... Matt, you were watching Carnage during the football game.
This was like an existential moment of crisis in my life because... during this game, I've never been a sports guy. Like, I'm one of the only people. I think I may be the only person I have ever known who never played sports as a kid. And I was never socialized into it. I know nothing about sports.
Brett sort of played sports. He played, like, a sport for, like, a year.
Yeah. I
like lacrosse?
No. I wrestled and played football.
We make fun of him for not playing sports, but he sort of
plays. Well, you can make
sports.
Fun of me now. All the enmity that you place upon him, you can place upon me now.
That's
but
good.
During that game, which I hear was like the most incredible game ever, I was watching Stupid Goddamn Carnage by Stupid Goddamn Child Rapist Roman Polanski and having a terrible time. So that made me rethink things. And
yeah.
Maybe I should...
Even if you don't like sports, if you're in the city where the team is winning, for example, if it was the other way around, and you're in New Orleans, and even on that last second and last touchdown, you'd be a lot. There'd be a lot of hugging.
Oh,
the strangers, yeah.
Yeah, we stole their joy.
Yeah,
and
well,
it tasted that much better when
when you actually
all,
win. Yeah, yeah, it's
yeah,
so fun.
I was
those hugs feel good.
Yeah,
yeah, it's just pure joy.
I just hug strangers anyway, though.
So
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, carnage. Woo!
Yeah, carnage. I just hug everyone.
Vince had a standing ovation and hugged the entire audience after the Iron Lady.
Yeah.
He was just yelling and cheering and running up and down the aisles. No one leave yet. I haven't hugged everyone.
I wrote this in my review, but there was a guy sitting next to me during the screening who was wearing like 10 medallions. Like some of them were made out of like feathers. Just like it was like Mr. T with like feathery gay medallions. And he had like a black velour hoodie with Asian dragons all over it. And
I like
he was
this
going
guy.
To a Meryl Streep movie.
And he had a black tank top that just said Castro in big big white letters. And
that guy just screams power top.
Yeah. And he was about 65 like, with like bleach blonde hair, like Hulk Hogan sort of hair. And like every time Meryl Streep as Margaret Thatcher would say something bitchy, he would just fucking die laughing. Like, oh, that was the greatest thing. And even that dude walked out after about 35 minutes.
That is fucking weird. That is weird that he would have that enthusiasm for a Margaret Thatcher movie, considering her... She advocated for putting AIDS patients in concentration camps in the 80s.
She's a great lady.
Yeah.
You'd never know any of her politics if you watched the movie. Like, you watched the movie. Going into the movie, I was like, my God. How boring a movie is it going to be if it's about Margaret Thatcher's fucking term in the mid-80s? Like, what is this movie going to be about?
When I was a kid, that was the one movie I thought, why hasn't this been made?
This is a glorious time to be alive in England.
Yeah. If this movie can't get greenlit, Hollywood's done.
Yeah. And I went in thinking that. And then I got there and I started watching. I was like, you know, some interesting stuff actually did happen during Margaret Thatcher's term, which they didn't cover at all. It was like there was no politics. It was just like completely whitewashed in order for her to like half of the movie was her hallucinating conversations with her dead husband, like about his suits and about the price of milk and about tea.
Those were important things in England in the 80s.
It was the most insanely stupid thing I've ever seen. And then during like the Falklands War, you know, like the Argentinians invaded the Falklands, and then so it's Margaret Thatcher and she's in this conference with the Secretary of State
Peter Falk.
Yeah, exactly.
Lind.
Peter Falklands. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they was just like, what are these cross-eyed islands? I don't even understand.
Is that Columbo?
yeah.
Columbo, you son of a bitch.
Is that actually Columbo?
Yeah, it is.
Columbo. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Stop digging me around, guys. Yeah, Columbo or not?
Columbo.
We've been through this before, and it was a whole mess.
No, I'm serious. Okay.
Okay.
And so basically the American Secretary of State's like, maybe you don't need to like send troops down to the Falkland Islands. And she's like, and he's like, for those of us who have been to battle. And then it's like, I have, with all due respect, sir, I have been doing battle every single day of my life. And then, like, the music.
May I say, you do a spot on Margaret Thatcher.
Yeah, that's a beautiful Margaret Thatcher.
Like, I got lost in the moment there.
I can't see too good. Is that Maggie Thatcher?
And like,
someone clean my glasses.
Like, the music piped up, and she's like, would America have, after Tojo bombed Pearl Harbor, gone to Tojo with hat in hand and asked for a peaceful resolution? And it was like,
we're from America, bitch. We don't wear hats.
and there was like soaring music where she's comparing fucking the Falklands to Pearl Harbor, and people are supposed to cheer. I was like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
Was there applause signals in the like during the movie where you're supposed to actually clap?
It's one of those scores, you know, like a John Williams score where it feels like an applause key.
Yeah.
But the carnage was better than that, but not by a lot.
With the title like Carnage, I expect it to be pretty sweet. And
it was unsweet.
It's
a bummer. I want Lars von Trier to make a movie called Carnage.
Yeah, agreed.
That would be awesome.
That's true.
Yeah. It would be unwatchable. Everyone would be covered in vomit.
Yeah.
the way so Carnage is basically it's based on a stage play, and it basically is still a play. Like they didn't really.
It is. It's okay. I don't like plays. I think plays are bad, and when you make them into movies, like it doesn't make them better.
No.
They're just boring movies.
They did the David Mamet thing where it's just like. It's like that kind of play where it's just people arguing about, like, they basically get into a conversation and then you have each person represent, like, the worst of some viewpoint and then they argue and it's supposed to be, like, pop and hip, you know? You've seen those plays. You know what I'm talking
about?
Well,
like, Glengarry Glen Ross, the movie, even feels like a play when you watch it. It doesn't feel like an actual movie.
Well, this isn't actually David Mamet. It's, like, bad. David Mamet. It's like a bad.
Is that a real person? Because that would be awesome.
He has a goatee.
That would be awesome. Yeah. I think we need more of those.
Yeah.
Just the antitheses, evil of the other side of these people.
Okay, so basically the whole movie is like Christoph Waltz and Kate Winslet are one couple, and their kid has hit. John C. Reilly and Jodie Foster's kid with a stick.
Is this the one where they like move over, they come over for dinner, and they just talk in the living room the whole time?
Yes.
I saw the trailer for that, and I felt sick.
Yeah, so one kid hit the other kid, and the parents are talking. And like it starts out with like the parents are about to leave. Like, okay, we've talked this out. And then every time they're just about to resolve this discussion, like someone gets offended, and then they end up staying, and then that, like that just repeats itself throughout. And I kept getting pissed at Jodie Foster because she just kept getting offended at stuff and extending.
Which she does because she's like a liberal. She's like a bookish liberal, and that's what she does with her life.
It's true.
An idiot.
And then... So the reason I wasn't going to see it in the first place was because it has that move that all bad movies have where someone takes the workaholic cell phone and they dunk it in water. And so I wanted to do a little test to see if you guys can guess how cheesy it was. All right, so they dunk Christoph Waltz, workaholic, got a BlackBerry.
Checking it all night long.
Exact, just checking it all through.
Oh, he can't. It's attached to his palm.
Actually, I actually wrote down the things that the lady next to me said during the film because it was like there was one guy with Tourette's like a few rows in front of me because it's like it's 2 p.m. at a movie, so you know the crowd is not.
Is this a screening or is this?
No, just a regular.
You paid
I did.
Entry, you son of a bitch.
I did. So this one guy had like Tourette's where he would just like every 10 minutes or so he would clap and then growl at the screen and then hold his hands over his head.
Almost on cue, did you time him?
I don't know if he would do it in reaction to things that happen on the screen or if it was just...
I did that. I don't have Tourette's. That was my reaction.
But did you do it over like every 5 minutes?
Yeah, I growled.
Okay. I didn't know that was you. I would have said hi if I knew it was you.
This movie is a threat.
And so then there was this other lady who was like the middle-aged like mom type who kept talking to the screen like it was her friend. And so I wrote down.
So what sort of stuff did she say?
So when Christoph Waltz answered his phone, she's like, oh, "I want to kill this guy," and then later she's like, "That's terrible."
How loud would you say?
Loud enough to hear
the whole
theater. There was like 4 of us in the theater, and she was all the way on the other side of the row, like one row up, and I still could hear everything.
Was she alone?
Yes, she was alone.
Married to cinema?
Yeah, exactly.
You should have got up and moved all the way down and sat right next to her.
That is a surprisingly creepy move. I like that.
But slowly?
Yeah, just walk over and touch every seat on the way over.
Yeah.
Can you believe how they're behaving?
Or sit down in every seat in between.
Not in my house.
Yeah. And then at one point they take out the scotch to pour a drink and she's like, yeah, like that's going to help. And then, she also said, good Lord. Oh, and, okay.
Didn't even do nothing.
So I just wanted to do a little test on you guys since you guys haven't seen it. All right. So picture it. She dunks his BlackBerry in the, it's actually in a vase with water in it. She throws it in there. And then he's freaking out. He's like, oh, my phone. What does he say? What does the workaholic say after someone dunks his BlackBerry?
My whole life is in there.
Ding, ding, ding. Yeah. Not even.
That was verbatim, the line.
Yes.
That was gorgeous. Yeah. That was amazing.
I thought someone would get it wrong before we got it right. But yeah, that's
how Brendan's really good at stuff like that, wow. But that was good.
That was impressive. I didn't think you. Did I give
like
him any.
Quantum math.
Because it's also not true, by the way. that
right. Well, I was thinking of something that was like overwrought that someone would say, you know?
Yeah. So it's actually funny because I was predicting a whole different, like, because leading up to that moment, Kate Winslet's character had been all nauseous. Nauseous.
She's so good at being nauseous.
Yeah. No, but so the phone thing was pissing her off, and I thought for sure she's going to dunk it in the water and be like, oh, I feel better already. But she didn't do that, but then they did the My Whole Life Was in There, which was even...
But then there's the equally obnoxious and predictable trope of, like, her purse gets destroyed, and then she freaks out.
Yeah, like way over the top freaking out, too.
Yeah.
Did she say
her whole life was in there?
No, she was like, oh, defend me, husband.
Yeah, she got mad. Yeah. It was just like a whole movie where one person's mad at one person, and then they, like, gradually take different people's sides, and...
It was so predictable and odious and awful. And here's the thing.
I don't even like talking about it. This sounds awful.
It's a move. The basic premise of the movie is that, like, moral conviction is irrelevant because we're all children and you shouldn't believe in anything ever and you can't be a good person. Directed by a guy
I like that.
Who gave a quaalude to a 13-year-old girl in Jack Nicholson's hot tub when he wasn't there and then orally, vaginally, and anally raped her.
That would have been a better movie.
I think it was called Hot Tub Time Machine.
Has that been turned into a movie, by the way?
Oh, it used to be a play.
Can you fast forward this till she's 18?
This is creepy. Let's just move this ahead. And all right, better.
Yeah.
I feel better about myself. Yeah, so turn that into a play, and then we can get it greenlit.
Yeah. Sounds good.
That sounds miserable. Yeah. I don't know.
It was a lot better than The Iron Lady.
Brendan, did you see the trailer for it?
No.
Because the trailer felt like a 90 minutes.
And I don't care to, sir.
It said good day.
I don't like the cut of your jib.
What do you, because you also manage a theater.
I do manage a theater.
So I have to imagine that they're... Because I see crazy stuff just going to press screenings and going to, like, movies in the afternoon. I can't imagine if you're there all
day.
Here's
the thing about working at a theater is that theaters are kept alive exclusively by the elderly.
Mm-hmm.
And the elderly are a deeply troubled people.
Yeah, talk closer to that mic.
Sure,
Make love to it.
Got it.
Rape it like Ben does.
Go nice and personal with it.
So we had a flyer in the lobby of the theater that was for this DVD that you could buy. And it had two DVDs on the cover, and there was this splash in the middle that said...
Hold on. Vince broke something.
What did I do? I just turned it up.
You turned off the right side.
I didn't... There's got to be... It must be a short in it. Sorry.
Vince, I think you got to put it in your butt.
Are we good? There we go.
Yeah, we're good.
See, I've been turning up the wrong one this whole time. That's why I'm
shocking.
We can keep going with this anecdote.
Yeah.
Continue with the DVD story.
So this woman comes up, grabs this flyer, and there's some text on the flyer that says "Tell your friends" in this big splash. And she looked at it, and she looked back at me with horror in her eyes, and she said, "What am I supposed to tell my friends? Are my friends okay?"
Tell them not to go home.
Oh.
Tell them to come here and bring all their money.
The maids are stealing their jewelry.
The robots have taken my medicine.
I check in on that clip every year, probably, just to make sure it's still hilarious.
I have like three favorite sketches. It's the robot insurance. Sylvester Stallone working at the computer store that used to be in Orange Julius.
That's what he calls himself now. Stillvester.
Stillvester. Yeah,
that's right, bitch.
Yeah.
Legally? Did he legally change it?
No, not yet. Oh. But maybe.
That'd be a good career move for him.
Stillvester Stallone.
And the Lucy Lawless Stevie Nicks fajita roundup.
I like the really obscure ones. There was a really weird one called "The Story of My Life" by Jack Handy. It was one of the episodes where Sting was the host and also the musical guest. I couldn't even begin to explain it because it's like if you took a deep thought and made it 5 minutes long, it's just so bizarre.
Yeah.
But I just absolutely loved it. I'm sure you can find it somewhere on the internet. I also really like when Jason Priestley hosted and he was Johnny Hildo.
Johnny Hildo?
Yeah, and then everyone was calling him Dildo. And then at the end, he's like, it's Hildo, damn it. And then it like shows like face on the front of the the newspaper. And it's like, crazy dildo kills 10 people. And it's pretty amazing.
That's pretty good.
I read Jack Handy's book, and it has a few of his sketches in there that I never saw. And goddamn, they're so amazing. Where it's no one does absurdity where it's completely unfastened from anything not absurd, quite like Jack Handy does.
Brendan and I were both blown away that Jack Handy was a real person when Vince showed us this book.
Oh, yeah.
A life-changing experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, you think he's like a fictional entity that they just made up for a deep thought.
Yeah.
Sounds kind of like a fake name.
Yeah.
There was that one, sketch where it was
fakest,
just...
Yeah, it's about the fakest name you could have. Jack Handy?
It's kind of, yeah.
Is he, was
What's your middle name, Hofstein?
Is he the inventor of the Jack Rack?
I didn't record that commercial. I did record a new Mancers.
Yeah, play it.
Dude just hit the jackpot with an. This dude just hit the jackpot with an all day sperm burger buffet. But watch out! Poke the sperm express too hard, and you might break your favorite bone. Can you bang so hard your wang snaps off?
I can bang with the best of them, and I can say I haven't had it fall off yet.
That's almost happened, so...
Is that a lion?
It all depends on the lady. Some ladies get a little overzealous.
If you're about to bang, but your hot rod veers off course and crashes, can you flick it off? According to the Journal of Emergency and Intensive Care Medicine, blunt trauma to your schlong can rupture the fibrous sheath called the tunica albuginea.
There's like five levels of sound effects.
So I'm picturing it like Beethoven in Bill and Ted's, where he's playing multiple keyboards.
Yeah. And there's a guy like soundboards.
Yeah.
He just has like five Morning Zoo sound effect keyboards, like Ooga Flush.
Honk. It's just a series of sound engineers trying to kill themselves on the keyboard, just banging their heads against it. Just, I wish I could die.
They love the squish sound effect. They are big.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The swish, the
sort of chop sound.
I don't know what you call those. Robert Palmer pans.
Robert
wipes. Wipes. That's what I was thinking of.
Robert Palmer.
Because you know, Simply Irresistible has that like knife swing sound effect in it.
It does.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever noticed that.
It's like
I know Simply Irresistible.
There's like a drum solo. It's like swing. Simply Irresistible.
That is a very obscure thing to remember about a song.
Would you you wouldn't remember swing sound effects?
Clearly none of us did.
Now you're making me cue it up because you're making me feel like I'm a crazy person.
I don't remember much of that song, but man, those swing sounds.
I don't know much about Robert Palmer.
That one cymbal hit in the middle of the song.
If you'd heard it, you would remember it. Wait for it. Wait for it. It's right before the first chorus.
These videos were awesome.
Here we go. Here we go. It's coming.
I don't think I ever noticed that before.
Oh, what the fuck is wrong with you?
I really never.
That's amazing.
Why would you not remember a swing sound effect?
You are.
I never noticed that before. No.
Oh, you're like Nick Cage, and you just stole the Declaration of Independence. Oh, it's a riddle.
That was amazing.
Oh, it's like a full-on Ninja Gaiden sound effect. Yeah. It like pulls it out of the sheath first.
Wow. Yeah, you really just solved the riddle of how we can steal the Constitution.
Did you see that thing that was going around the internet? It was like an old picture from Nick Cage's yearbook.
That was not real?
No, it wasn't real. And it, like someone changed the quote to, I'm going to steal the Declaration of Independence.
Did it have some other stuff, too, that was funny? Or was that all? I swear it had other stuff in there.
Probably. I don't know.
I wouldn't be surprised, though, if he wrote something very similar to that. He seems like a very self-serious young man.
Knowing was on one of the channels of TV
the
other day.
You guys will understand.
Knowing was... If anyone has
50
never,
million people are going to die.
It's so silly.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to drive.
So silly. Yeah, Drive Angry was ridiculous. Knowing is very ridiculous, too, though. It's right up there.
What happened? He got some prophecy that the world was going to end, and it was, like, pretty irrefutable proof, so he had to warn everybody, but they didn't know. So it was all like, no, you guys got to understand me. The world's going to end.
No, he could see, like, 5 seconds into the future.
No, no, that is next.
Deja vu.
Oh, or God.
Butterfly effect.
No, deja vu.
Was it out of time with Denzel Washington?
No, this wasn't Deja Vu.
No, Deja Vu was also with Denzel Washington.
That's the one I was thinking of.
Yeah.
Next is the one is with Nick Cage.
Well, there's Source Code, where he just keeps reliving the same thing.
And then what was the one with the train, the size of the Chrysler Building?
Unstoppable.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was a good movie.
But there is the Source Code.
Yeah, well, he...
Did you guys ever see Training Day?
See, I told you we talked about movies. You didn't believe me.
Only about
It's a Training Day the size of the Chrysler Building.
They should make a parody of it called Tranny Day.
Sorry. Sorry, Ben.
I tab you as producer of Tranny Day. I think you'd be really good. I think you could find some good cast members here in our town of San Francisco.
It'll be like some black tranny. She'll be like, King Kong ain't got nothing on me. And then she pulls her
cock.
Huge dick out and she's got like a great set of boobs.
The trannies here do not have great sets of boobs.
You
wouldn't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw one the other day.
The only trainers I ever notice are like the 6 foot tall dudes with stubble that legitimately scare me.
No, I seriously think
I just get ran into the shivs.
I have this theory that like whatever gene makes you want to be like a transvestite is really close to the gene for abnormal height, because every transvestite you see is like 6'5", and you're like, fuck, man, I wish I was that tall.
It's got to be like, okay, already stand out. I already stand out. What can I do to justify the attention?
Can I get some heels as well?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have any size 15 heels?
Yeah.
No? Damn it. Everyone seems to be out.
Wait, so get this halter top with bigger shoulders.
So I'm never going to see Knowing. What happens? So he can see the future. And
I'll try to go 30-second synopsis. His son's school gets a time capsule out of the ground. The one thing that goes to his son has all these numbers on it, and somehow it's like a crossword puzzle that he figures out. And he circles numbers
like
a word find, and it circles dates that end up being all sorts of different disasters. And then there's one date that he circles that's in the future, and I don't remember exactly, but it's
12 million people are going to die.
Yeah, and it ends up being aliens.
Oh, really?
Well, I don't think aliens destroyed the world, but there's a solar flare coming.
The aliens buried a time capsule some dork school?
No, I don't.
Hey, fuckers, remember the 60s?
Hey, guys, it's not funny. Aliens are trying to tell me something.
What would it be like if Willem Dafoe was there?
Oh, God, I'm going to make all these aliens suck my dick.
It doesn't make any sense, but it's so funny. So a solar flare is going to come destroy the world, and then aliens come and save all the children.
What if?
And that's true.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, did you love it?
No.
No?
There's not a lot to love about it.
Tell you what, after you take all the children, come back here and suck my dick.
What if it was? What if it was Matthew McConaughey?
All right, you guys come back later to suck my dick or what?
What about William Wallace?
What if it was Batman, Brendan? What if it was Batman?
I'll suck your dick.
What if it was Corbin Dallas?
Whoa, what's going on here? Come to the coast, I'll suck your dick.
That was a line from Die Hard.
No, I couldn't think of any Corbin Dallas lines.
Brennan, I'm going to be dead serious here. I think you have a future in I'll Suck Your Dick impersonations.
He could do corporate gigs.
Everyone, you know him. You've seen his YouTube clips. Yeah. Brendan!
But it wouldn't be a Microsoft retreat if we didn't make fun of Steve Ballmer, right? Right, guys? Woo! I'll suck your dick!
Classic Steve.
Oh, fucking Steve
says that all the time.
Oh, man. Brendan, seriously, just, you know. Consider it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll look into it.
Scott Bakula.
Oh,
I don't even know what that would mean.
How to do that? you're getting too obscure.
There was a.
Well, listen, I'll suck your dick, but it won't be me. It'll be someone else in the past.
You can't get that obscure. That's like Danny Gans in Vegas. Oh, he's not alive anymore, is he? But
no, there was an impressionist at Milk Bar this past week, and he was calling out for suggestions. And I don't know. I guess it makes me a dick, but I just kept trying to think of like the most obscure, like nondescript. I was like, Josh Lucas.
Is that George Lucas's nephew?
No, it's the guy who's like, you'd know his face, but he's like the most boring. He's like the most that guy of that guy's. That
he's kind of like he's kind of like the dude who married Fergie. He's like kind of in that sort of like
exactly. Josh Duhamel.
He's also Josh. He's just sort of
Josh Duhamel. Or Josh Duhamel is like the perfect comparison to Josh Lucas. He's this guy.
They're just very milquetoast.
Let's see.
So someone doing impressions. I feel like. Impressions are so early 90s.
Yeah.
To do how on like a stand-up.
Well, if you do them well, it's always
If you
funny.
Do them on a podcast, it's cutting edge. And
Especially as a call-out, like an improv improv impersonation.
He really has nothing that you would know him from. I'm sorry.
Is he the guy in The Firm?
He's probably in The Firm. He's that dude.
He's the new in the TV show The Firm.
Oh, okay.
He's like the lead guy.
They're really on top of that TV show, The Firm. They only came out like in 94. What the fuck?
Yeah. It's been about 15 years.
Corrupt law firms are hot now, Vince.
Do they ever go out of style?
No.
Lawyers, cops, hospitals.
Corrupt law firms. Hot. We got to make a show about it.
Nuclear families.
Mm-hmm.
How are his impersonations?
They were good. I mean, he did Cosby, which is like...
Did he do British Bill Cosby?
No, he did not do British Bill Cosby.
Because Brendan is a spot-on British Bill Cosby. And no one, and I mean fucking no one, can take that away from him. You find me someone that does a better British Bill Cosby, and I will hand that man a trophy.
Thank you. Thank you, Ben.
Yeah. Matt, before we go into Mark Wahlberg, because we do have to talk about that.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You got to have some other theater stories.
Okay, so we were giving out posters for War Horse in the theater. Oh. There was like this bin.
It's already dumb.
This family came in, and there was this mother of two. It was like this middle-aged woman who clearly used to be hot, which like explains something.
They go crazy.
It explains the frozen lips.
Right.
The big swollen frozen lips.
Yeah, the rictus lips. And
not a fan.
I think she had three kids. She had like a son and a daughter, and then a second daughter who was in a wheelchair. And like one of the serious wheelchairs, like one of the Stephen Hawking wheelchairers. Like the advanced wheelchair. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
super chair.
Right. They came in.
Like you couldn't play what was the name of that?
Murder ball.
You could not play murder ball in one of those.
No, you couldn't. You couldn't. You could watch Murder Ball in one of them.
Yay. to type out yay with your eyeballs. Yay.
She looked like she was asleep at the piano. You know what I mean? and they came in, and the mom, I don't like women like her. In general, she was like one of those moms who clearly celebrates Flag Day every year and has like 80 flags at her house. So they came into the theater. They made a huge mess in the theater that I had to clean up, so I didn't like them. And I came back out.
Is that fecal? Fecal mess?
No.
She had your colostomy bag in there. damn, these cripples.
This goes here.
It looked like they just picked up all of their popcorn and soda and like slammed it into the ground deliberately. To spite me. So I come back out, and they've taken two of the posters, and the girl in the wheelchair comes up and grabs the poster as well, and her older sister comes over and snatches it out of her hand forcefully and stuffs it back into the box where it came from and said, "We already have one of those." And the mother did nothing to intervene, and this poor girl just had to like take it. It was fucking awful. And then like
they type out, "I'm sad."
And then
with
like
her
the
eyes.
only thing I could think about was like, "Shit, that's how supervillains are made." She's gonna blow up a building someday.
Meeper's the supervillain. Yeah.
My sister gets all the attention.
How often do you give away free anything, posters, whatever?
Actually, pretty frequently. We get really bad merchandise from studios.
And how much do people fucking love free stuff?
Oh, they go apeshit. Like
people
Muppets,
go apeshit for free stuff.
Muppets buttons or the big hot item. Like you're gonna wear a fucking Kermit button on your lapel.
Oh, I would.
You go.
Asian people love free stuff.
We did give out the novelized version of War Horse, which was the book it was
what?
Based on.
Oh, okay.
It's
a
clop clop clop.
No.
This horse saved another.
And I don't know if you talked about War Horse on your podcast before, but it's a stupid, silly movie.
Yes.
And
now my favorite part of War Horse was when they signed the armistice treaty and everybody was.
I didn't.
Wait. Did the horse sign it?
No.
With his hoof?
No.
He just put a big hoof print down. Clop.
Get out of here, horse. It's the Palace of Versailles.
And, it was like. It was the best moment because they signed the treaty.
In the stables of
the
Versailles.
Fucking war's over. Everybody's cheering. And it cuts to the horse, like in the stable. And then the horse is like. Durr, hey, I love hay, and everybody's cheering. And
it's yay, like, we love hay too.
It cuts to the horse, and it's just like absentmindedly eating hay. And I was like, that says everything.
It's a fucking horse. Didn't know what was happening to it.
It would have been much better if they waited. They're like, it can't be signed until the horse signs it, and then they get it in there, and it's like, what the fuck's going on?
He's a miraculous horse. He is.
The armistice was signed in a rail car in France.
By a horse, mostly.
The treaty was signed in 1919 at Versailles.
All right, Brendan, naval alphabet, go.
You mean the NATO alphabet?
Whatever, bro.
So we've done this on the broadcast before.
Yeah, War Horse. Fucking War Horse.
So it actually cuts to just like the absent-minded, like...
It's seriously, like the bells. Like,
wait, hold on. Tell me that the last scene is it raising on its hind legs with the sun behind it.
Oh, silhouette horse.
And scene.
What was the last scene?
It raises. Oh,
I remember the last scene. It's not that interesting. But
is he end up in Tijuana?
No,
because he would be a powerful, powerful horse.
Horse. No,
come and see the war horse.
Like the bells in England hadn't played, like the church bells hadn't played the entire war.
Yeah, because the horse freaks out.
Yes. Scares the horses. Yes.
Not the horse. It's only one. Yes. There's only one true war horse.
Last horse.
There's not. It's, Brennan. It's not war horses.
Right. It's war horse.
War horse.
Yeah.
Horse wars. And so the bells play for like the first time in 4 or 5 years or whatever. So it's like the bells are playing, and then there's like all these shots of people, like, you know, that being awestruck by,
are they coming out of their house slowly?
Peace is here, you slowly know, blah, blah, blah. And then it seriously cuts to the horse, and the horse is just absentmindedly chewing hay.
Oh, that's the movie they should have made. Is the entire thing, it just cuts to a horse in a stable eating hay. Like there's an entire World War I happening, and every other scene just cuts to that. Same horse.
And then the next scene, it says 10 years later, and then someone's gluing something together.
Yeah. Did you ever see engagement?
That took a second.
A Very Long Engagement, that was a movie about World War I, and there was some like gnarly battle scenes. There was like one where the guy's like running across a field with his buddy, and then his buddy gets blown up, and it just shows him on the ground, and he just spits out guts. I was like, that is awesome! That's how you do a war movie.
Does a horse spit its guts out?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
So where were you going with War Horse? You were...
It was based on a kid's book.
Okay, yeah, novelization.
A scholastic novel. Like the same people who do Goosebumps did War Horse.
R.L. Stine wrote War Horse.
Twist ending,
choose
the war was for nothing.
Was it it was a John Christopher book.
I don't know who that is.
Oh.
Christopher Pike.
Christopher Pike?
R.L. Stine.
I don't know who John Christopher.
R.L. Stine?
R.L. Stine.
Naming writers from the 90s.
John Christopher wrote every probably 10-year-old kid.
Oh, that was Matt Christopher.
Matt Christopher, I'm sorry.
The Dirt Bike Kid.
Yeah.
I remember those.
There's a book called The Dirt Bike Kid?
Yeah.
If Fourth and God was written a long time ago, Matt Christopher would have written it.
Yeah, that's right.
He wrote every uplifting Little League story.
Yeah. The left-handed shortstop was one.
Yep. It was. That's a fact.
Yep.
I just read Proust when I was a child.
On repeat?
It was like, no, it was the Choose Your Own Adventure Proust.
And it, like, which flower will he describe?
Every adventure ended up with you like looking out of a window while it rained. That's every ending.
Worst Choose Your Own Adventure.
It always
ever.
Ends on page 41.
I like the Choose Your Own Adventure Bible. That was my favorite.
Is that real?
No, but it'd be kind of awesome, right?
No? You are in hell.
No, you know what? You know what the Choose Your Own Adventure Bible is? Life.
So true.
Oh, you're failing, Ben.
Oh, I remember what I was going to ask you. So this week, like, I guess in Liverpool, they had to give people refunds for the artists because people like went in not
there's
knowing.
There's no sound.
Yeah, exactly. They didn't know it was a silent movie.
Oi, come off it. What's down now, D-Dog?
Hey,
turn the...
Hi. No, it's Liverpool. It's Liverpool. Hi.
I at least want to go on a piano, right?
What'd you do with the sound?
Hey, turn the speakers on,
our British listeners are going to be so upset.
There wasn't any sound there, was there?
What the fuck was that? Pacific Islander?
The sound was gone there.
What are you, Irish?
What'd you do with the sound? What'd you do with the sound, bro?
Question is goose chips. What
the fuck was that, man?
It's goose chips.
Hey, bro, what did you do with the sounding?
Hey, what'd you do with the soundtrack?
You're just making vowels out of it.
Someone forgot to turn on the sound.
So then I talked to some other people wrote to me who like worked at video stores where one, I forget where he said he was, where he lived, but he worked in a video store when The Passion was popular. And he said like 95% of the people returned it being mad that it had subtitles because it, you know, because it was all in, like,
it was in Aramaic.
Yeah.
Most people that rented it didn't speak Aramaic. That's fucking
weird, right?
That's fucking weird.
Have you ever had any weird, like, do you get refund requests?
Oh, man, I got a great one time, which was this middle-aged woman stormed out of a theater and demanded a refund because she was like, I'm sick and tired of fucking old people talking during the movies. It happens every time. They won't shut up.
Seems fair.
Yeah. I mean,
under the circumstances today, for sure.
Your girl that you were watching Carnage with.
My lady.
That happens.
Yeah.
Hey there.
She's excited.
You like talking through movies too, huh?
Vince and I got a refund for Dinner for Schmucks because that was the worst movie ever.
Yeah.
You got a refund? I thought it was a screening.
No.
No? And you actually got a refund?
Yeah.
So you what did you say?
Vince was actually very convincing, which is funny because I'm the salesperson.
I am an online movie critic,
yeah.
And I have never seen anything so shitty.
I didn't really care. I was just like, as long as I got to leave, I was happy.
Well, I remember hearing people say like, oh, if you don't stay for the whole movie, you can get a refund for
it. Is that true?
No.
What is your theater's policy on refunds?
My policy is if you're nice to me, I will probably give you a refund because I don't give a shit.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
But
I also
I was going to say it also doesn't come out of your bottom line.
No, that my very low bottom line of minimum wage. Yeah, it doesn't come out of that.
I just I distinctly remember the funny part was first of all, everyone fucking loved that movie. Do you remember? Like, yeah. We were looking at each other. Going,
that's what made it so much worse that everybody was laughing their asses
like
off.
Dying.
At it.
Yeah. Yeah. Welcome to America, guys.
But
thanks for living here.
Yeah, it was like watching Two and a Half Men in a theater. Like, what is going on right now?
Yeah. And
is everyone watching the same thing?
Yeah, it was bizarre. And so we're just like, oh, this is awful. And we were like, just commenting to each other how shitty it was, and then Jeff Dunham showed up, and we were like, all right, that's it. And we just walked out.
What movie is this?
Dinner for Schmucks. It had like Zach Galifianakis and Steve Carell in it.
Straw that broke the schmuck's back.
No, it wasn't Galifianakis. That was that other shitty movie, right? With
no, I think he was like
driving across the country.
Dude 8.
No, he was. I think he was in that. Both of them.
Oh, he was in that. Yeah,
I think
he was.
I didn't mind Dude 8 though.
I hated Dude 8.
It wasn't.
It wasn't great, but it, you know.
I also walked out of Dude 8.
It didn't.
I wouldn't necessarily
insult me.
Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily recommend it, but it wasn't awful.
It wasn't Dinner for Schmucks, that's for sure.
For Schmucks a remake of that French movie?
Yes, yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Why would you remake a French movie?
Yeah.
Steve Carell, like, collects dead mice and poses them in, like, weird dioramas.
And that was the best part of the movie.
And that's supposed to make him endearing, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I knew a girl who did that. I know a girl who fucking did that in college. No, she was crazy. She was one of those crazy girls. And she had this cat that she was like over emotionally.
She definitely had a cat.
Yeah, she had a cat, and the cat would bring back voles that she would kill. And I went over to her house one time. She was really hot, by the way. This explained a lot.
Always are.
Always, always. And she would arrange them into these mandalas on her carpet and just leave the carcasses there. She was mysterious. She was like a lit major.
Yeah.
Like, always are.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Oh. Can I get this girl's number? Wait, what? It's like you're staring into God's eye, but it's made of dead mice.
So here's a... You don't
Can
know
I tell
this.
You something? God is just like a lit major girl, like a crazy art studies girl.
So cat. Brett buys random bones, boxes of bones
what?
Online.
Yeah, you get the grab bag. It's cheaper.
I just met you, and I know that you buy bones on the internet.
Well, not all the time.
Do you use bitcoins? Is this on Tor? Are these human bones?
You don't want bones? You don't want them to find you, do you?
Oh my God!
Yes, human leg.
Why do
Score!
You have bones?
You wanted to make stuff out of them.
Is this real?
I tried to make a crown of femurs.
A crown of femurs?
Yeah.
It had to be femurs,
yeah,
specifically?
Yeah, because you can't.
Why wouldn't you make a crown of skulls? That would be way
Ooh,
more...
Ooh, that would be awesome.
That's hack.
I don't know how you would...
That's hack.
I mean...
Yeah, little animal
it's
skulls.
Hack. Is it? No, yeah. Is that's too Magic the Gathering? But femurs are fine?
That's right. Yeah.
Femurs
yeah.
are the new skulls?
Right, if they were sticking out, like little spikes?
Yeah, I mean, you could I mean, like, you could get creative with it. I just like, wanted like a I wanted to be ground shaped, right? Like I didn't want to just make a hat out of bones. It's stupid.
But a crown.
Well, yeah, but so here's the problem with the whole premise is I didn't
is
know
that you buy bones on the internet. Well, right?
I mean, no, that part was easy. The problem came is when you drill into the bones.
Oh, I hate it.
They've got like the
marrow.
Yeah, but it's liquefied and putrefied, and so it drains out, and you can't wash it off your hands for like a week.
And doesn't it smell awful?
I did the hard gag when it came out.
Did you during that week while it was still on your hands? Did you finger the scent of death into any girls?
You know what girls hate when your hands smell
yes.
like bones. They don't like it.
No, I
read that in the game.
Oh, I know, because Luke, when I took this girl up to my room, had arranged the bones on
your
my pillow.
Layer. You mean
on,
your layer.
On my pillow, and it said, "You're weird," in bones on the on
I
the
love
pillow,
you!
On the pillow. And I was like, don't mind that, my silly roommates like bones. They like to joke.
My roommates are so
You're
funny.
Gonna die.
I don't want your bones. Whatever.
All right, so Mark Wahlberg. Did you guys hear this story yet?
Yeah, it's actually really sad. He could have prevented 9/11.
Yeah, he says he was apparently he's scheduled to be on one of the planes that crashed into the World Trade Center, but he didn't get on. Much like Seth MacFarlane, apparently.
What?
Yeah.
That's true. I've heard that one.
He would have gone Spawn on their asses. Yeah.
But I've heard interviews with Seth MacFarlane about it. No, Seth MacFarlane? Oh, and the Family Guy.
Yeah, that's the same
guy. Oh, he's not like the action figure guy?
No, that's Todd okay. McFarlane.
Yes.
That would have been ironic.
Yeah. And he was just like, I've missed tons of flights, so it wasn't the crazy. Because I don't know how many flights in my life I've missed, so if that happened to me, it would be crazy. And for him, it was like, yeah, I mean, it's fucking crazy, but I've missed hundreds of flights in my life, so
yeah.
Just one of another one.
So Marky Mark says, if I was on that plane with my kids, it wouldn't have went down like it did. There would have been a lot of blood in that first class cabin, and then me saying, okay, we're going to land somewhere safely. Don't worry.
Listen, terrorist, I'm just want to land this plane, okay?
I enjoy that he's modest enough not to have flown the plane home safely.
Just somewhere.
You know, he's a nice guy like that, you know? He doesn't need to fly the plane. He doesn't need to take all the credit.
Put that razor blade down, okay? You're going to hurt somebody.
Hey, terrorist, I'm serious. You're going to hurt somebody. You're going to kill somebody in this crash.
Trying to fly home with my family. What's wrong with that? I'm trying to go to Los Angeles. Trying to make a movie here, okay?
What?
Not you. What are you?
Wow. Was he wasted?
No, he actually, he's mentioned this before. Back in 2006, he said, we certainly would have tried to do something to fight. I've probably had over 50 dreams about it.
I've had like over 50 dreams, bro.
Daydreams.
Well, at least the subconscious is informing his hypotheticals.
Where was he?
I hate to him just be flying off the cuff with this shit. No, I dreamed about it a bunch, bro. All the time I'm thinking.
Over
all the time
50
I'm
times. Over 50. And I don't dream that often.
Too hardcore. Dreams are for pussies.
It could be because he Apparently he's religious now and he's getting his...
Oh, no.
What?
Yeah.
Is he just trying to be more of a douche?
Perhaps.
You know, 12 resolutions.
How could I do it? How could I do more evangelical?
I wanted Wahlberg to be all Christian, like In-N-Out burgers with the quotes on the side of the cup.
I just wanted to talk to Jesus. What's wrong with that? Yeah.
Because he started out everybody hating him with a rap thing, and then everybody loved him, and he's like, I can't deal with it.
How do you not like his?
Well, he blinded a Vietnamese.
A Vietnamese?
Yeah.
A single?
A Japan. Really?
How many Japan have you blinded?
Just one Vietnamese.
One Vietnamese?
Mm-hmm.
On purpose?
Yes.
Was he talking shit?
Yeah, when he was 13, he was a bad kid, man. Let me look it up.
From the streets.
I really like
from Dorchester.
I really like the new trailer of his new movie, Contraband. You think you're the only one with a gun around here?
Yeah. Don't you ever say nothing about my family.
You mentioned my wife a kid again, and you're a dead man. Say hi to your mother for me.
By the age of, at age 15, he harassed a group of black school children on a field trip by throwing rocks and shouting racial epithets.
Jesus.
I actually did not know this.
When he was 16, Wahlberg approached a middle-aged Vietnamese man on the street and, using a large wooden stick, knocked him unconscious while calling him Vietnam fucking shit. He also attacked another Vietnamese man, leaving him permanently blind in one eye, and attacked a security guard, again using racist language.
Is this true or is this a made-up?
No, this is true.
Wow.
He was charged with attempted murder when he was like 16.
But somehow none of this matters.
Mark Wahlberg is a prick.
Jesus yeah, well. Christ. But he looked good. He's like, oh, look at me and my Calvins. I look pretty good. Hey, feel it.
Feel the vibration.
Yeah. He's religious and he doesn't believe in masturbating anymore.
Oh dear!
Wow,
God.
Mark
Wahlberg. He never has to masturbate again. That's not a big sacrifice.
So hold on, I will reserve judgment. What religion is he into? Because if it's,
I'm assuming it's like Chris something Christiany.
Oh, he's totally a Scientologist.
Maybe it's Wahlberg. Right? Oh, Scientology would
Come
be
on,
actually
how
good.
How could he not be?
Yeah, that Xenu son of a bitch. Yeah.
Cut him some slack.
Do the Scientologists?
But Scientologists aren't very hung up about sex, right? Like,
are they? I don't know what their policy is about sex.
I don't think they're too hung up about it.
Look, if you were a celebrity and you had the entire world to fuck, would you be a Scientologist if that precluded that?
Well, straight to the aliens. I want to get in line for that shit when they come down out of their volcanoes.
You want some alien pussy?
Yeah. I want to fuck.
No,
that.
I just want to get off this volcano-ridden planet.
I thought you were trying to get into the volcano.
Me?
No, Scientologists.
No, I think you want to get into
the volcano.
I thought you want to get on the planes.
No, you want to get on
the DC-10s. You want to get on the DC-10s.
I thought the DC-10s came out of the Xenu.
Some silliest. It's all so silly, but that's one of the silly
ones. John Travolta is going to fly his spaceships.
Oh, right.
Into
the volcano.
Yes. Right. Yep.
And then the bombs explode. One minute here
with Rich. I don't get down with jerking off, dude. Look, I don't believe in everything the church says. I try to do the right thing. I lead a clean and pure life. I'm a married guy. I have a beautiful wife. Sex is not the most important thing to me. Being horny all the time, spanking the... I mean, it's not against the law. You can do whatever you want. And it's not like I shouldn't do it because of my faith. I'm just not really into it that much anyway.
So why, when you are all rich and powerful, do you somehow... Is it like you're bored and you sort of go crazy? I don't get it.
Probably.
Because you live in a fantasy world.
Yeah, my
so
guess is you surround
rules.
Yourself with yes men. Everyone just wants to kiss your ass all the time. No
but why wouldn't you
like,
just sort of be your own, like, I'm going to start my own religion and all these people are going to follow me?
Because at that point, you've tasted the flesh of the human and nothing's going to ever, ever match that.
For man is truly the most dangerous game.
Well, that is a fact.
Science.
and a dangerous game.
Yeah.
Wasn't that what it was called? With ice
I like being in shape. I've accomplished a lot. You know, people always ask me, you know, about running around in my underwear and trying to sell my body, but I think I've accomplished a lot. I have a lot to be proud of, so, you know, why not share it with people? The important thing to remember is you're starting where you're at, but there's no stopping you after that. You can, you know, you can start off with the home workout. You can start off with the push-ups. You can start off with just jogging in place. But whatever you start off, if you repeat those things on a daily basis, you're going to have to go on. You're going to have to go to the next step. The videotape offers that. It's got, you know, the next step. The workouts have the next step. If you start with a light workout, light repetitions, light amount of sets, the next day, you're going to not feel it as much as you did 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, like you did with the home workout. So you're going to have to take it to the next step. But the main thing to remember is start where you can start, you know, and don't try to be something that you're not. Everybody has their own games. I'm never going to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, and someone's never going to look like me. Everybody has their own personality, their own person. Be pleased with that, you know what I mean? Everybody's beautiful, man. Go out and get yours. Wow! It's time to get busy. Let's do this. Wow! Got my fly assistant. She's going to help me out. She's going to demonstrate the spot for everybody at home who needs a spot. Just like the way she holds on to me, so let's get a little closer.
Is she peeing on him right now? They're like going head to head while they do tricep.
I'm doing bent over rows.
Yeah.
Black point or one arm dumbbell row.
What was that robot?
Insert tape two.
And in front of you.
She's got the weird thing where, like, all 80s and 90s pants look really weird because it's like she's got these
high-waisted.
She's got these like sexy shorts, but they go up past her belly button.
Dude, this is American Apparel. It's the same thing. Today.
Yeah,
we've
I know.
Gone back to it.
I know.
I look like I ride a horse on the weekend.
I feel like it's not so much here, but like in New York, it's crazy. Like if you walk around the East Village, everyone looks like they're all dressed like Elaine from Seinfeld.
Like your mom.
Yeah.
They all look like your mom.
Yeah, or someone from like Beverly Hills 90210.
Who's in charge of that shit?
We have hipsters here, but in New York, like they take it to another level where the hipsters are full on, like, I will look ugly. I will look really ugly to prove how cool I am to you.
I mean, there's parts of the 80s that don't – that was a bad decade.
It was terrible.
You know, and people got to say, you know, maybe the Ray-Bans, fine, but not the high waists.
Yeah. No, high waist was not good on – like, there's a lot of good things in the 60s and the 70s. What the fuck is that? Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what happened there, but we're back. Anyway – we got a couple emails to read before we put this thing to bed. Last week or the week before, we had Justin Halpern from Shit My Dad Says reading us his top 10 things overheard from the halfway house across the street. I think his next book should be Shit Halfway House.
Yeah, Shit Crazy People from the Halfway House.
We might need to work on the title, but I think you're onto the concept is there.
Yeah, so he sent me and Brendan an email about a new thing that he overheard, which was just screamed right now. My watch says you're a bitch, you fat cunt. Let's eat beef. Which I enjoyed.
I didn't know watches could do things like that. Is that a new kind of watch?
Must be fancy.
I don't know. That's a fucking fancy watch.
And we probably missed a few questions, but this was the most recent question for relationship question for the panel. Dear Frotcast, my sister is getting married this spring, and being in the wedding, I'm entitled to a plus one. My sister, being a natural control freak, already has a date picked out for me. The date she picked is a coworker of hers who, if you woke up next to, you wouldn't be upset. I've only met her a couple times, and I don't know if I'd get laid if she's my plus one. My question is, should I go with the prearranged date or find a date that would be an easier score for the wedding? Greg, Tim, Mike. I have an answer, but you guys can...
You go with the prearranged because there's no... You're not, like, locked in. You're not getting married to her at the wedding.
Yeah, and also your sister, if she is the control freak that you say she is, will probably be very upset if you disobey her just to get laid, whereas it's like... I don't know. If you have a sure thing, she's probably going to fuck you anyway, whether it's at the wedding or not. So why not just go? And who knows? Maybe you'll fuck your sister's coworker, and then everybody wins.
Maybe you'll hit it off. And if you don't, then you could just meet someone else there.
Or you take the sure thing to Tasty Freeze and get some action.
Yeah, in the bathroom.
Yeah.
There's no reason to say no. Brent is right. You don't want to piss off the control freak sister and have her, "This is my fucking day, motherfucker.
You bang who I say you bang."
No input?
No.
I know nothing about women.
my opinion is he sounds like he's not into this girl already because he's considering
his
taking
sister?
A different one. No, the sister's the arranged date.
Do not. I think we all. I speak
I think
for all of
just
us.
Doubting whether or not he can get laid.
Should not bang your sister.
I don't know.
He's getting set up with a hot chick, and
I think if he was getting set up with a chick that he was excited about, he would
more excited.
There would be no question sent into the broadcast.
Excitement? You take what you are given.
I'm just saying. Look, there's not a lot of opportunities to get laid like a wedding. I feel like it's a pretty.
Yeah, but just because it's a prearranged sort of semi date doesn't mean that he has to hang out with her the entire evening.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, a setup that's going to be hard to ditch mid-wedding.
Yes, it's the sister's friend. I'm sure she knows other people.
Yeah. I don't know.
If my prom experience can be any point of reference,
and I'm sure it can.
If somebody is has arranged to be on a date with you, that does not at all occlude them from hitting on other people.
Yeah.
During the date.
Fuck whoever you want.
Was that an awesome prom or a really sad prom?
That was a sad prom.
Oh.
Can I tell you, it was on San Diego Bay, and I spent the entire prom peering into the water, looking at all of the bioluminescent life forms phosphorescing in the dark and wondering about the nature of life and the biological origins of
your
of
date
humanity.
Didn't join you for this journey?
No. She was dancing with other men.
A bitch.
Weird.
Dirty dancing.
Weird, right? This beautiful girl. Yeah, weird. Well, this is why I'm a comedian right now. This is why...
Because of the plankton?
Mm. Plankton, yeah.
We did get another voicemail that's related to this, which is a question for me.
This is Austin. Vince, why did you lose your virginity when you were 26? I lost my virginity and I look like Seth Rogen. You just look like a vaguely greasy clown. So, what the fuck, man?
Well, I think he answered his own question.
It wasn't 26. That was just me.
It was like 25 and a half or whatever.
No, it wasn't.
I'm just kidding. I don't even know.
It was after 20, but it was before 23. Let's put it that way.
Vaguely, oh, that's brutal. Vaguely greasy clown. I like vaguely greasy clown.
Yeah.
You just had a run of bad luck there, buddy.
Yeah.
I was witnessing some of that, and you just get like shit on by God.
Yeah. It wasn't for lack of trying. Put it that way.
That person just aired a lot of your dirty laundry.
I air my dirty laundry.
In front of me.
I've told.
You don't share this with the stand-up community.
Well, I've told the Frogcast audience and the stand-up audience about trying to nair my butt, which I feel like it's not.
Nair your butt? At least you didn't nair your balls, because that's deadly.
Yeah.
Brett used to do that.
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
That burns you. You need to take it off
that
way before the recommended time.
Scars you.
Yeah. Wait, like cut it in half. Half whatever
so
the time is.
You got
is.
Like some two-phase balls, right?
They're evil on one side.
Yeah.
Which side you going to get? Let's flip them.
Baby, so could you just tongue the left one? Just tongue.
So that I had to wash it up. It was an emergency. I've got like half hairy nuts.
You don't have to put the whole bag in your mouth. Just you don't like the hair. So just put the
in the nairing instructions. They should have for every body part.
No, they have in giant letters. Do not use on your nuts.
Yeah, they do. I've checked it.
Really?
They totally do. Do not for use on your genitals.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's college. Just throwing caution to the wind. You know what? I'm gonna ignore this one. See what this chemical can do.
You know what? I feel good about this on my balls.
Fuck it, I'm a pirate, baby.
You haven't answered the question, though, Vince.
What?
Why didn't you lose your virginity?
Like I said, it wasn't for lack of trying.
Yeah, I think any guy, if approached by a woman at the age after probably 14 or 15, and is like, hey, I want to have sex with you, they would always say yes.
Yeah.
Male.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't always happen like that.
I had a girlfriend when I was until I was like 19. And she was the religious type.
You fucking idiot.
Is she a Scientologist?
I thought, well,
because they're fine.
She
with
wasn't
masturbation.
Like she, the thing. That was the thing. Was she was a Catholic? And the thing with Catholics is like the strict ones. You think at any second, like you could just flip that switch, and they'll be one of the crazy Catholics. You know,
that's so what you're trying.
You couldn't
to think,
find
yeah.
the switch.
Yeah, I couldn't find the switch.
Spoiler alert: it's the butthole.
Yeah, because they're still virgins that way.
Yeah. Well. Didn't work that way for me.
If you know who it worked for? Roman Polanski.
Hot Tub Time Machine.
Hot Tub Time Machine 2.
Yeah.
The director's cut.
So you guys want to put this thing? You guys want to put this thing?
The girl was like, oh, my asshole hurts. And last time I remember anything, it was 8 hours ago. This must be some kind of Hot Tub Time Machine.
Dark.
Dark.
Yeah.
Dark.
Very comedic with the rape.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you know what? She was wearing a crown made of femurs when she woke up.
I put that on all my Hot Tub Time Machine travelers.
Plants get the scent of death on his wang, on his wiener. Wang.
You guys don't know the sort of embarrassment when you have to explain why you ran out of your living room with the power drill and your roommate comes in and just finds bones. What's going on here, Jordan?
How many bones come in a bone grab bag?
You presented that as if it were supposed to evoke sympathy, but I have no idea how to feel about that.
How many bones come in a bone grab bag?
It depends on the size. You can get them in, there's like a small, medium, large. I got the two smalls.
Why wouldn't you go one large?
Because then you get like cow bones and you can't fit that on your head.
Dear sir, your bag of bones was meant to have
inadequate
assorted bones of animals. When I see mostly rodentia, unacceptable, slow delivery.
Return to center.
A pox upon you, Mr. Bone Purveyor.
C minus would not bone again.
Let me make a surmise here. I'm willing to bet that there's a forum somewhere on the internet of bone collectors where there's some guy with 5,000 posts under his belt who has very strong opinions about different bone distributors.
It's Morgan Freeman.
Right?
He's in that.
It's fake Brett.
You're a member of that forum, aren't you?
He was the bone collector.
You need to know someone to get in.
The bone thugs. Yeah. Invite only.
Seriously, so you don't get a large bag of bones?
No, man. Then you don't want like a cow femur.
No one
Why
wants
not?
That.
It's heavy. You put six of those in a fucking halo. Though. You're not going to wear that around.
You're
not going to be able to wear that to parties.
You got a big head. I think six cow femurs would work.
Powerful skull.
I'm just saying.
And on that note.
Oh, yeah. So to recap, don't see Carnage unless you like that kind of crap.
But see the Iron Lady.
Don't see the Iron Lady.
Come on.
But see Warhorse.
Matt did see the Angelina Jolie movie, which
we
didn't talk about. But he said it was
good. Believe
it
or not, so. Angelina right. Jolie produced a good piece of art.
Yeah. This is her first porn, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
Oh, you have any? It
looks like John.
You have
Boyd,
a Twitter or anything you could?
No,
no, you're not going to plug anything.
No, hell no.
Oh, who do you think you
I'm
are?
Plugging me. My name is Matt Louvre.
All right,
go visit the Louvre.
Yeah.
Go visit the Louvre in Paris.
He's the Museum of Comedy.
Yeah.
Museum of Comedy. Where comedy goes to die and be embalmed, and put on display.
Sir,
tourists.
Step back.
You
back.
Just stand and watch. You don't do anything.
This comedy is not funny anymore. Back away.
What are you doing, laughing? No, you're in the Museum of Comedy.
Everyone can hear you. Everyone can hear you.
Don't touch.
No pictures.
You're in the Museum of Comedy.
Sandwiches are $8.
All right. Well, keep the emails coming. We love them as always. Frogcast@gmail.com. Vince, what is the Google Voice number?
Country code 1, area code 415-275-0030.
That's right.
Good voicemails this week, guys.
Good voicemails.
That was good. I enjoyed them.
Good show. All right. Maybe it wouldn't hurt to say something nice about us every once in a while. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. If you like the Frogcast, you know, put a review on iTunes. Tell your friends. Spread it around.
Don't call us cunts, please.
You can call us cunts, but leave a nice review on iTunes.
We'll call three of us cunts.
Yeah.
Be fair. They just called me a cunt.
Hey, we're doing something nice here, guys. We're trying to do a Frogcast. Maybe write a review for us on iTunes.
We would have provided 9/11 for you.
All right.
Tell your friends. Just make them subscribe it to the Frogcast on their computer, because fuck them. They don't. You don't like them anyway.
Touch dicks with them. All right. Until next week, good night and good chins.
Meow. What?